Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. That you don't just tell us to do something and leave us, but you tell us to do something, but then you guide us, you lead us, you give us the grace, the resources to carry it out. You are so good. You're never ending. And so we lean into that today. We thank you that you are not done. We thank you according to your word that it says that you are doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? We perceive it today. You are doing something new in us, in our church, which means you're doing something new in our city, in other churches all across the city right now. You are doing something new. In our country, you are doing something new. We are not afraid. We do not walk in fear, but we thank you, God, that you are doing something new. We praise you, Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 All right, so I'm going to have a few people come up and give testimonies. Luke, I'm going to have you come up. Tony, you want to come up and give a testimony? Awesome. Awesome. Tony, why don't you come on up first? Luke, you can still come up.
Good morning. I don't know if you guys all noticed, a couple months ago, I came in here limping pretty bad. I went to the doctor finally, after my wife persuaded me many a times. And doctor said, well, he says, you got a torn MCL and a dislocated meniscus. And I was like, oh, so what do we do about it? And he rattled. And I said, well, I know what I'm going to do about it. And I waited. Everybody wanted me to go back and see a surgeon on it and stuff like that, and I didn't. And the pain level between 1 and 10 was between 8 and 9. And at night, it was keeping me up, and he gave me a bottle of oxycodone. And, you know, everybody's like, that's the best thing for this. I said, no, I have not taken one, and I will not take one. But Pastor Jim called me. We were in Indiana. I was in a good bit of pain. And he says, speak over it. Speak over your body. And my wife kept on telling me, do what Pastor Jim says, speak over your body. And I kept on doing it. And I laid my hands on my knee that day, and I said, no more. Pain, you are gone in the mighty name of Jesus. I am now walking limp free. My pain level is between 0 and 1, and that 1 is going to go down to 0, right? And it's all because of his word. Now, I missed Hockaday, and that really tore me up. We were in Indiana for a workshop, but just because I wasn't here didn't mean I didn't receive it. And I didn't receive what he got. He sent me this. Pastor Deborah, this church praying over healing, period, gave me this. And the Lord knows what we need at all times, and it was victorious because of that. So all glory to him, and I just wanted to share that with you. It was amazing.
Yeah. Go lean into that one. I love what Mr. Tony says. He doesn't know what I'm preaching today, but, well, maybe he does, but we're talking specifically about the cornerstone today and leaning into that fact of what Pastor Jim received, what we all received, he's a part of that. He's a part of that. You have family members right now that aren't here? They're a part of that. We'll dig into that a little bit. That's so good. Praise the Lord. Luke, come on up. What an adventurous story we're about to hear. This is awesome.
Well, if some of you guys probably know, I lost my job about a month and a half ago. And this at the time was my dream job. It was a place, a company that I wanted to work for, had everything I needed. Well, finding out that is not my dream job anymore. And through this last month and a half, first of all, I got let go and I got severance on top of it. And that doesn't happen in this type of layoff. So God gave me that first of all. And that allowed me the time to be more strategic on what I was applying for, pray about the jobs that I was applying for. I'm a very impatient person, and I have a pretty good resume if you look at it on paper. Well, I wasn't getting any interviews. I wasn't getting any calls. I was getting denial after denial after denial. As a human, that's very defeating. But first of all, have an amazing wife who stood with me. But we both believe the same thing. And we believe and we trusted in God. So Tuesday, I had an interview. I went into it. It was really intense. but, you know, going into it, I was like, God, you're going to give me favor with this person. If this is where I'm supposed to be, you're going to give me favor. So I did it. Talked to Brandon, like, right away. He's like, how do you do? I was like, I think I killed it. I think I did great. Like, just based on reading responses and watching facial expressions, I was like, I think I did really good. And so, you know, kind of reached back out, waiting to hear. So come Thursday night, the kids had a piece of paper in their backpack that we found out on Thursday night that there was an event Thursday night. For the school, it's one of those PTO events. Hey, you come here to Donna Millie's and you get 20% goes to the school. We weren't going to go. One of Paisley's friend's mom called Cassandra and was like, hey, we're here, we're going here, you should come. So we went. And kind of reluctantly, I think, at first, but it was good for our children. Really got to sew into her. As a single mom, and just love on her. Cassandra's really great at that. So got to sew into her, let the kids play. We got to invite her to church, which is really great. So we're expecting that that's going to come as well. On our way home, she was talking about a park. She lives about two neighborhoods down from us. And she's talking about a brand new park that these kids go to, and it's amazing. And so we're like, hey, let's go check it out. Out of our normal way home. On the side of the road, it's darkish now. It's pretty dark. There's a boy standing there in pajamas with the shirt off, and he's screaming at us, or any car, anybody. He was pissed at everybody, yelling, and she's like, should we stop? And we did. We got out. He was dealing with suicide. And there was a heavy demonic spirit there. He kept shouting in fear that the devil was going to come and kill him. And other things. So after talking to him, he ran in the road. And this is 132nd, really busy street. A car comes over the hill, did not see us. I tried to do what I could to stop them. They did not stop. I pulled them out of the road. Well, that side of the road. Now we're facing oncoming traffic with five more cars coming down the hill. Got him off the road. This is about 35 minutes, so to speed it up, I just kept talking to him and loving on him, and he had said he had done some pretty outrageous things. A few times in the interaction, had tried to hurt himself even more. So got to the point where I was like, hey, this is not safe. He jumped in front of another car, four cars in this interaction. He tried jumping in front of, so I pulled him. I took him down, with force, but gentle force just to get him out of harm's way, and held him there till the police came, and man, they could not come fast enough. Like, this kid was like 150 pounds. I was like, okay, are they coming? You know, trying to just speak on him and tell him, and I said, hey, he's saying everybody hated him. I said, do you think it's a coincidence that I'm here right now? I said, with all of these cars, because who knows how long he was out there. With all these cars that have passed you, do you think it's a coincidence that I'm here right now? I'm here because I care for you, and your life matters. And I know you don't see that, and I know you're uncomfortable right now. And he's like, get off me or I'm going to. I was like, well, you might as well get comfortable because you're not going anywhere. But just got to speak into him and, you know, called Brandon afterwards. You know, I really think that was a seed. And we prayed into him, into a situation. He's been in the foster care system, which can be a nightmare. So I think we saved a life that evening. But also we sowed a seed into this young man's life who at 13 years old didn't want to be here anymore. And afterwards, that was the moment that I called Brandon. I talked to some other people. I broke down because I'm like, man, at what point at 13 years old has your life escalated to this? So after that, Friday comes around. I get a call from this employer, and they offered me a job. So God is really good. Really quick, I'm almost done. The same day I lost my job, that storm hit. Totaled out our van. So we had a decision what we were going to do. But ultimately, we're like, God, this is in your hands. You do what you're going to do. You know, we know that you're going to provide a way. So, lost my job, totaled out our van. The day I got my job, we got our van back, and we got the option to buy it back without any more payments on the van. So, that's why I really speak strongly that, you know, in those times of doubt, when you're faced with a wall, a mountain, whatever it is to you, just believe and trust in God. And find yourselves an amazing spouse, too, because that helps as well. But, you know, praise God. I'm going to go into this job, and the potential earnings is like double of what I made before. The benefits are great. The people, the culture is incredible. So I really think God has me where I need to be.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. We've been praying for that young man. Let's just pray with him. Would you agree with us? Lord, we thank you. No accident that Luke and Cassandra were there at that moment. And you had them on assignment in that very moment. And so we thank you for the obedience. But we lift him up right now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit ministering to him and strengthening him, his spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit working through Lucas in that moment, that young man just can't shake it in the name of Jesus. He can't shake that experience. He can't shake that love. He can't shake that grace. He can't shake that salvation, that it is just on him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that it would send him into a path into your arms, that he would experience your love, your grace, and your salvation. We thank you that his story is not done. We thank you that you've spared his life, and then you have great plans and a great purpose for him in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that to say? Amen. Keep praying for him. Keep believing in that. Our church is a part of that, okay? That is the reason that we share testimonies is not to say, look at what God's doing in my life, get excited about me. We say that to get excited about what God's doing in our church, all right? In all of us. The church is the body, the people, okay? And God is moving, and we all, if we choose, get to be a part of that. You know what happened to Luke and Cassandra? That's going to happen to us, all of us. Don't be afraid of that. That young man's life is saved because of Luke and Cassandra, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt. His life is saved. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Was it uncomfortable? Yeah. Was it worth it? Absolutely. It's worth it. And so I say that to be aware, to be ready for what God is going to do through you. Okay? What God is going to do through you into other people, and what that's going to, the testimony that's going to bring. Amen? All right, well, I guess we'll get into the sermon now. So go ahead and turn your Bible to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And I guess the title of today is Cornerstone. I had a different message to preach up to 9 o'clock at night last night, so hold on, baby. That means the Holy Spirit's moving. In John chapter 7, verse 37, we're going to read 37 to 39, it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Praise the Lord. This is Jesus speaking in this moment, and he's saying, hey, if you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. And the disciple perceived here in this moment that rivers of living water was speaking of the Holy Spirit that would be later on, he didn't even know it in the moment, but later on given to them as a gift that was already promised by Jesus, that you will receive the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come upon you. And so after Jesus ascended, the disciples received, they were the first to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that was later on poured out into all the world. Amen? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is the prerequisite for the Holy Spirit? Belief. Amen? Belief. Where does it start? It starts with belief. I love when people start sharing testimonies because it builds our belief. If he can do it for Tony, he can do it for me. All right? If he can use Luke and Cassandra, he can use me. Okay? Luke and Cassandra, had you prepared, like, had you done a bunch of, like, studying on spiritual battles up to that point for the, like, a few days prior to that? Yeah. What? Well, then how did you, and what did you, and now can you do that? Yeah, go for it, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But what's my point, all right? We did not prep that question, so I guess it worked out that it answered that way, but even either way, it would have been fine. But my point is this, God is calling us to step out, okay? We can all do that. And where does it start with the Holy Spirit moving rivers of living water out of us? Praise the Lord. What a cool picture. Living water, rivers of living water flowing out. It's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit working through us. It starts with belief. It starts with belief. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction, right? John 16, 18, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit, if we are open to the Holy Spirit, he will make things right. All right? He will align us with his word. He'll bring conviction to our hearts. Like, hey, stop doing that. All right? Change that. No matter where you're at in your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit can sharpen you. I don't care where you're at. All right? I don't care how perfect you think you are or how great you think you are. God can and should be sharpening you. And how does he do that? By you allowing him to. All right? And you have to allow that to happen. So belief that he is God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in and through you to sharpen you. And don't think for a second that, well, I'm all messed up and I can't be used. Well, no. Wrong. Jesus has notoriously used people that were imperfect and did not have it together. And probably when you met them, if you had a chance to meet them before they met Jesus, you would be like, dear Lord, they are a wreck, all right? They probably would be the people that you were walking on the sidewalk and you see them, you're like, oh, let's go to the other side of the sidewalk. You ever seen, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Guarantee you. That's who God uses. You ever been just so busy doing something and somebody is saying your name over and over and over again to get your attention, but you just don't hear it? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah? You don't know how long they've been saying your name. If you're a man in the room, you should say yes. I'm doing something, and Rosie's like, dad. And I'm like, yeah, yes. How long has she been saying my name? I mean, who knows, all right? Sometimes Charity has to be like, Brandon. I'm like, oh, okay. One track mind sometimes. But it's so important. Please catch that analogy because the Holy Spirit is always calling. Praise the Lord. He is always there. He is so faithful. He's just saying, Brandon. Yep, you're getting annoyed. That's what I'm trying to do. Brandon. And we're until I say yes. And I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not like, I've been calling your name for, he doesn't even waste time with that. He just, hey, come on, let's do it. I've been waiting for this. Let's do this. And he starts sharpening me. He starts sharpening you. Isn't that good news? And that's how the Holy Spirit works. We have to allow him to work, but the Holy Spirit is always faithful. All right? We, on the other hand, have to work on that, but start working on it. Amen? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears, verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. It's great to hear the words, and you got to do them, okay? So everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on this. It's interesting. He's speaking to people. And Jesus is speaking out, and he knows everyone hears it, but not everyone's going to do it. Everyone who hears these words but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Powerful. And I read this and I'm like, but why? What actually makes the house strong? What is the rock? We know it's God, right? But what specifically is happening in that moment? When you start doing things, when you start being obedient to God, what is actually happening to your house? And don't you love that the Bible just has all the answers? Isn't that the coolest thing ever? So turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to explore that for just a minute here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus was a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've all been rejected. We've all been told that we will not amount to anything, to some form or degree. We've all been told that we'll never come back from this. You'll never be able to do that. There's no way. And I love the scripture because it's just a reminder that no. Right off the bat, you come to him a living stone rejected by men. But in the sight of God, you are chosen and you're precious. Amen. And who is Jesus? He is the cornerstone. And that is what makes that house so strong. Jesus, the cornerstone. So, I'm a construction geek, so deal with it. Sorry. We're going to do an analogy today. I need a volunteer. Let's see here. Who's seeing? Let's see. Howard, you want to help me? Awesome. Okay, we're practicing this. I mean, I know this works because, well, come on over here, Howard. The reason I know this works is because I do it all the time. All right. So go ahead and grab that. Okay, got it? Okay, cool. You know, in construction, we do this all the time. This is called a straight line. Okay? All right? This is called a straight line. And what we do is we set the corner post first. Okay? And off of that corner post, everything else falls. Okay? If you're making a fence, if you're building a wall, if you're building a house, whatever you do, you have to have some sort of first starting place. And this is the cornerstone, all right? So I'm going to set this cornerstone. Let's say this cornerstone is set, okay? And now we're going to establish a straight line. And off of this straight line, we're going to build the rest of the wall. Does that make sense? So I'm going to set a block, 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 and keep on going. So let's get it straight here. Howard, go this way a little bit. Go that way. Whoop. Perfect. Don't move. And what am I doing? I'm lining it up with the face of the cornerstone. And it's important to understand because we hear cornerstone, and a lot of us even know this, right? That out of the cornerstone, we establish everything. But this is how it gets established. When you're setting a cornerstone, you set it, and then off of this now, I can set another block. And I can know that it is lined up perfectly straight. Does that make sense? Well, that's really important when you're building. You know, it's extremely important, okay? So everybody just take a mental note of where Howard's standing. Everybody got it? Mental note. So let's just say that I take this cornerstone and I just move it 2 inches. What is that? That's 3 inches. 2 inches. All right, let's line it up. Let's line it back up. Pull it tight, Howard. What? Beautiful. Now everybody see where Howard's standing now. And this is only in about, what, 25 feet, 30 feet, maybe? If you go take this line for 1,000 feet, yeah, and 1,000 feet, that gets bigger and bigger. Yeah. He would be out of the room. Ralph said, absolutely would, yeah. You know, in 10 feet, 15 feet, okay, I'll say it differently. Yeah. In one day, in 1 week, in 1 month, it's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But you know, after years, it becomes a pretty big deal. You ever talk to somebody like, I don't know how it got here? Yeah, you actually do. You actually do. You just maybe don't realize it. Okay? But this is the power of the cornerstone. Okay? So I'm going to put it back here. Howard's going to go back there. He's an expert at this now, so I don't even have to coach him on it. But you're setting the cornerstone. And off of this now, you're building. And you're putting stones in here. What kind of stones are you putting in here? Well, you're putting stones that line up with his word. So you're putting stones in here of truth over and over again about different things in your life. Who God is, his healing power. You have testimonies that are getting built into this. And it's all locked in. It's all lined up with this. You know, the crazy thing about it is when you have a straight line, you might even be, and believe me, I've been here, okay? I've built a lot of different things, and I've built a lot of fences, and we use straight lines all the time with fences. And you put your first post in, and then you put your far post in, and then you run a string line, and you start digging all your holes for your posts. And you know, it's crazy. I'll come up here, and I'll start, and I swear, I got this hole right in the right spot, right? And I start digging, and I don't check it. And my dad would be like, make sure you check it as you go. You can ask my dad. I don't know how many times he said that to me. God bless him. And I start digging a hole, and I'm digging a hole, and I don't stop to check. And I get the hole dug all the way. I've spent time on it, maybe an hour and a half, digging a hole 36 inches into the ground, 12 inches wide. That stinks. And then I go and I put the post in the hole because I'm kind of like concerned. And the fence post, the edge that's supposed to be against this, is right here. Yikes. That's a bummer, all right? Big time. Now I could leave it. And then what does the fence do? No. Right? And it will actually, again, because I'm a nerd, all right, and I know this, because that post is that way, if you try to build it like that, and I've seen it happen, over time, the rest of the fence will start to decay because the wood is trying to do something it's not intended to do. So what do? Well, you have to make that hole bigger. But, praise the Lord, it is not all for naught. Because I have a string line. So even though I'm off, I know where I gotta go. And because I caught it, all right, because you can catch it at any time, I can make that hole bigger. Now I want you to catch this. Would it have been easier to check it as I go? Yeah. Because now I gotta do more work. And I'm making that hole bigger. And I don't know if you know how concrete works, but if the hole is bigger, you got to put more concrete in there, all right? Which is a lot more work, all right? Which means I'm still achieving a straight wall, but it took a lot longer. and it was a lot harder, okay? Because at least I had the hindsight of saying, okay, I'm not going to build my wall like that. So it's important. There's a lot of different principles that we're learning and we're hearing here, and I want you to catch all of them, all right? Because all of them are important. Thank you so much, Howard. I appreciate it. Give Howard just a huge hand. So awesome. And one of the things that happens a lot, you see this happen. Somebody's house is built off of the cornerstone, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's so strong. And somewhere along that line, that person takes out that cornerstone. You know, it's very interesting because, again, working in the construction world, you see some crazy things. I went to a house of a friend the other day, and they said, hey, is this an issue? And I said, yeah. The issue was the bozo that was working there took out a header over this long expanse, and all of the roof line sits on that header. And this header is 14 feet long. And you know, the crazy thing is the house was still standing. Yeah. And it will. In fact, the house may never fully fall. The roof may never fall. But I will tell you this, that house will not be the same until we fix that. And it will have leaks. It will have roof problems. It will have drywall problems. It will have flooring problems forever until you fix that. In fact, you can tear all the drywall off, put it back on, and it will crack again. You can take all the floor off and put new floor on, and it will all crack again. You can take all the roof off, and you can put all the roof on, and it will leak again. Why? Because there's movement, and there's no solid ground. And we see that happen. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. We live in a world and a culture that is feeding you with all kinds of lies. Hey, just take that header out. Open up that room. It'll be really pretty. You can do what you've seen on HGTV. It'll be fine. But you have not consulted the cornerstone. You have not consulted the one that started the build. You have not consulted the one that is a part of the foundation. And because of that, you tear that thing out, and now guess what? Everything is messed up now. Don't listen to those lies. We have a very important election coming up. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Well, I just think, and I probably don't do that. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. This is a fight. It's a good versus evil. Don't think that it's something different. It's not. We are fighting for our future. Charity and I are fighting for Rosie's future. We are. You all are. So let's take it seriously. Let's start aligning ourselves with the cornerstone. And you just might say, well, that's just a lot. It is. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit will give it to you in pieces you can take. And he'll give you the grace to be able to walk it out. Okay? When you set that cornerstone, how do you build the rest of the wall? Brick by brick. Brick by brick. Can you set a brick today? Yeah. Could you set a few? Yeah. You definitely could. I guess the question is, will you? If you're in the room and you're like, I don't even know if my cornerstone is set, good news. The Bible is so clear that he will set you up for success. In fact, why don't Why don't we just do this, and I'll close with this. Go to Romans chapter 11. So this is another analogy, but it's the same thing, okay? Romans chapter 11, verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it's not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you'll say branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? I love that. It was just like such a beautiful analogy of the kingdom of God. If you're not a part of the kingdom, you can be grafted in. And just because you're grafted in, keep your belief up. Keep growing in your faith. Don't for a second think like, oh, I can just do whatever I want now. Sorry. You can get mad at me or get mad at the Bible. I guess it's in there. But it's reality. We follow him. I love this, though. It reminds us, even if you've fallen away, all you've got to do is ask to be grafted back in. And you are. It's that simple. And in religion, we don't always want to make that easy because, well, I've done all of this. I've been good. How do they get what I get? And that's religion. That's what Jesus came to abolish. Because that is the law and that is chains, and Jesus broke it. So as Christians, as believers, we have to be 100% accepting and loving of those coming into the kingdom. But we also have to acknowledge the division that happens because of the gospel. God is who he says he is. He is the cornerstone. There is only one way. That is true. That is holy. And we must protect that. And so when people are come face to face with that, there will be a dividing line. You choose him or you don't. He does not bend to you. We change according to his word. But it's great news, because if you're not doing that, you can do it right now. If you did it for a while and you've stopped doing it, guess what? You can change it right now. Just get back online with the cornerstone. There's probably some blocks there you might have to tear out. You might need to do some construction. Construction is fun. Demo day, baby. So get a sledgehammer and go to town. What's the best day of a remodeling project? There's actually two. Demo day and the day it's all done, baby. When you walk in, you're like, whoa, this is what we've been doing. This is what we've been working at. And for months, you do all the ugly stuff. And you're like, is this ever going to happen? I've been looking at this bare wall for like 2 months, and they keep telling me that they're making progress, but they're lying. And then in a matter of a month, it's like, boom, whoa. So get doing some demo and look forward to the promise that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Philippians 1:6. He is who he says he is. And he's not changing. And he is here. So if you need that today, it's yours to get. Just receive it. When we put blocks in and we line up with, I think, one really important block that we have to make sure we get in line really right off the bat. And if you don't have it, don't worry, you can put it in right now. But one of a really important, crucial block that you have to get in and line it up with his word is the way that we receive and the way that we give. Does that make sense? Because the way that we receive and give, we've been taught by the world, and it is all messed up. And the way that God gives and receives and has commanded us to give and receive is completely different. And I want that to just sink in. And if you're like, some of you might be like, yeah, totally. Some of you might be like, what is he talking about? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. And you may be like, hey, that's no fair. You're supposed to give me the answers. No, I'm not. That's not how it works. All right? God is the one that brings that revelation. And I hope that I just gave you just enough to get hungry and get an appetite for what that looks like in your life. Gratitude and receiving, giving and receiving are so important. And the way that God does it is completely different than the world does it. Learn his way. His word is very clear that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He will teach you to walk in the grace and his mercies, but we have to let him. So we're going to pray for some people. If you need prayer in your body for healing, we'll pray for you. If you need the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit today. Why would we leave this place without empowering you with the one that we were focusing on today? The Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus came to this earth. When he left, he gave us a gift, the Holy Spirit, the helper, to lead us, to guide us, to help us in navigating all these things. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. If you feel a conviction in your heart, meaning I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Holy Spirit is not doing that to make you feel bad for it. So if you feel bad for it, all right, all you got to do is ask for forgiveness and it's gone. And if shame and guilt sticking around, that's from the enemy. That's the devil trying to bring you down, okay? You've got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and his is freedom. When he says it's gone forever, stricken from the record, okay? Demo day happened. It got put in a dumpster, and it got taken to the dump, and then it got one of those big excavating things, and they ran over it 17,000 times, and they put it under dirt, and then they put more dirt on top of it, and then more people brought their trash, and that got packed down, and it just kept getting back. It's so gone, no one's ever going to find it. So let it go. So if you need God today, first and foremost, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you haven't, just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life today. Anybody in the room? Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. I'm going to assume we're all Christians in this place then. And if you're like, wait, I wanted that, but I didn't, just come talk to me. I'll lead you in that. But if we're all Christians in this place, now the next is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're like, what are you even talking about? I don't know if I have it. I could have it. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I need some, explanation. Come on down front. Yeah, it's might be a little nerve-wracking. It's okay. We've all been there. I did it. I went down front. It was terrifying. And then it was exciting. And then it was super exciting. And it was really fun. Why? Because the Holy Spirit changes everything. If you want the Holy Spirit, come on down front. We'll pray with you. I would love to pray with you. Anybody want the gift of the Holy Spirit today? Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're in a room with a bunch of Holy Spirit-filled Christians. Well, sounds like a good recipe for something fun. Amen? It sounds like it's a great recipe for something fun. So if you need healing in your body, I want you to come down front. We're going to pray for you. So if you need healing, come on down front. Come on down. Anybody? Come on down front. We're going to pray for you. Now, if you're in the crowd today, you're in your seats today, then you are participators as much as any of us today, which means that you're interceding. And when we use, that's a fancy word, but it's an important word to know. Interceding is you're praying on behalf of what God's doing here, all right? Because we have to understand, I mean, Jim Hockaday talked about this a lot, but healing, all right, we're breaking the very thing that the devil is trying to bring against us, all right? And it will not succeed today. It will not succeed, but we partner together, so we believe together what God is doing. So believe with me today as we pray that God is doing what he says he's going to do. Amen? For healing, for a breakthrough. Amen?
Amen. So my dad is having surgery Tuesday.
Yeah.
He has a growth on his neck. It's benign, but it's being removed.
Okay.
And so I'm standing.
Standing in. Miss Susan standing in for her dad. He's having a surgery when?
Tuesday.
It's going to go great. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you for complete peace. We thank you for complete healing. We thank you that growth can be gone right now. Shrink up, die, shrivel, gone. Dead and to the dry places, it is gone in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for complete deliverance from that ailment. In the name of Jesus, we agree together. Faith abounds in the blessed home. Faith abounds in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
I have a lot of health things going on. Just
all right. They're going to be gone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See this picture? It's going to be gross, but it's going to be a great picture. It's a clogged pipe. I'm trying to pour a bunch of stuff in. It just keeps not going in like it's supposed to go in. And then all of a sudden, flows. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water. In the name of Jesus, we just believe and agree right now and break it in the name of Jesus. Say, come out. Be released. Let it be broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Let it flow. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Right here.
Like
Tony said, 0 to 1. I've got an 8 to 9.
8 to 9 down to a 0 to 1. Let's get down to a 0 right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for complete healing in the name of Jesus. We stand on your word. We say if it was done, it is done.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
See,
we break it, we shrink it, we get it out, and it is gone.
In Jesus' name.
Not just gone, but strength. Not just strength, but that which was lost, restored.
Amen.
Jesus. Anybody else need prayer? Praise the Lord. So, what are we going to do this week? So, what are we going to do? You are going to have God-ordained God assignments this week. You are. The question is, do you respond? Plain and simple, okay? So are we going to start stepping out into the things? Now, there's certain things that are like, well, that's obvious, right? And there's other things that are like, well, that seems kind of small. Will you just step out in it? It is not small. There is nothing too small. There's nothing too big. God sees it all. And don't for a second think God cannot use you. Because he wants to. Okay? He wants to so bad. Like more than you know. Lord, I just pray right now just for a revelation of that. Right now, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come right now into all of us. And I just pray for a revelation of how much you want to work through us. I just pray for a revelation of that, that your Holy Spirit would bring to us. Let us know and understand and feel how much you want us and how much you want to move through us, how much you delight in your children. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to do it so bad. Go ahead, Pastor Mike. Absolutely, yeah. We're going to lift up Tammy. She's been sick for the last few days, about 3 days. We just pray, Lord, right now for your Holy Spirit coming into her house, into the room that she sits. It's all over right now. We thank you, your Holy Spirit is all over right now. Your healing power, it's working in and through her right now. We just thank you, Lord, that congestion is broken in the name of Jesus, Lord. That just the annoying stuff, the sore throats and anything is broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you for complete healing. We thank you that there is nothing. We thank you that her strength is back, Lord, that she's not just to 60%, to 80%, but she's to 100% right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that she is healed, healthy, and whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll step out in just a moment. If you have a word of knowledge, specifically, anybody in the room, God might give you some insight, something specific.
It's a word of knowledge, information you might not have thought of, but the knowledge brings clarity. You're going to have opportunities not only to share Jesus, but to share about what we're doing at Christmas time with the kids. It is amazing. We've had volunteers give money who don't go to this church, never attended, but they heard what we do, and they want to get involved. So don't hesitate just to share what God's doing and the prices have gone down. Do you believe it? They talk about inflation, but the prices have gone down. You get a chance to share. And they might not be ever attend here, but their giving will touch the lives there. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes. We don't do gifts for the teachers right now, no. We did a small gift for the teachers, the baskets, because somebody gave us, I talked about it last week, and somebody gave accordion, so our baskets went from here to here, and a bunch of people gave to it, which is really cool. But we don't currently do anything specific for the teachers. We pray over the teachers as we pray over the coats. We pray that it will touch the rooms, the classrooms, and everything. So if this feels uncomfortable, because I'm like asking you if you have a word or asking if you get used to it, all right? And that's a good thing. I'm not trying to be mean when I say that at all. I'm just saying, let's get used to that. I'm really actually saying, let's get used to it. I'm not saying it to, but I'm just saying, let's get used to that. We come together as a community to praise and worship God. And the Bible is very clear that we are to stir up the gifts. And how do we stir up the gifts? We use them. We use them. Like, you have to use them. And so we're going to pray for people, and they're going to be healed. If you have a word of knowledge or prophetic word, those kinds of things, let's start flexing those things. You're like, well, I don't know if I should. Well, yeah, you probably should. This is a pretty safe place. This is a great place to do it. Like, well, I don't know. Well, then you'll never know. So, but I believe God is moving in our hearts, okay? And he is doing something new. So let's lean into it, all right? Let's pray. Let's agree today. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your prompting. We thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge and your revelation that you bring. And we thank you, God, that this week is going to be filled with divine appointments, with divine assignments to set people free, demons casted out of people, miracles and healing, strongholds being broken, love and kindness like never before. People experiencing who you are because of our obedience. And we thank you, God. Man, we thank you so much just for just to be able to be a part of that. We thank you, God. We agree today. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen. 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 We love you. Have a great week. If you need prayer for something and you didn't come down front, or if God gave you a word and you're like, I didn't say it and I should have said it, maybe I should have, you can come talk to me. Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, Pastor Jerry, we're all up here. You can come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about that. All right? Have a great week. We'll see you next week. And come expecting and come ready to stir up your gifts. Amen? Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.